This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on.
Get ready.
Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. This is Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170. We are truly the answer. And this segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue in San Diego. Give them a call at 619-265-2400 or go to www.sdcarb.com. Stan is the expert when it comes to carburation and fuel injection, and he also works on distributors, believe it or not. That's right. He can pull a lot of horsepower out of your motor with a correct tuned distributor. He also works on distributors that are still have points, HEI. He does it all, has his own in-house little Chevy engine that any carburetor or fuel injection system he works on, he mounts it on there and runs it before you get it, makes a final adjustment, and just makes sure, everything is good to go. Also, Black Forest Motorsports. If you're looking for a dealer alternative and you want somebody that's been in the business for a few weeks, like Black Forest, which has been there for 40 plus years, BMWs, Minis, and Porsches, they're heavily involved in all three, in not only street servicing and repair, but also motorsports. So if you want to maybe take one of those three and maybe trick it out and make it go a little quicker, they have that opportunity for you as well. Black Forest Motorsports, 8066 Engineer Road. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. That's blackforestautomotive.com. So I don't know if you heard the last race at Abu Dhabi with the F1 cars, but it looks like Charles Leclerc was under investigation for a fuel discrepancy. Yes, they actually do check fuels even in F1. So the F1 carrier, the F1 carries out random checks of the amount of fuel teams have put in the car before the race. So to monitor whether it matches with the amount the team claims to have run, FIA technical delegate Joe Bauer says the amount of fuel in Leclerc's car did not tally with the amount declared by Ferrari, and therefore has reported it to the stewards. So I guess where would be the advantage? Well, the fuel declaration of car number 16 was checked before the car left the pit lane, Bauer said. There was a significant difference between the declaration of the team and the amount of fuel inside the car, as this is not in compliance with their rules. So they referred it to the stewards, so they're still working on it. Leclerc, of course, was unaware of any fuel concern, mainly because he's just the driver, even though he could very easily get penalized over it. So the FIA race director Michael Massey told the media on the grid that the matter would be investigated after the race, and with the steward now needing to focus on-track action, and were unable to summon Ferrari members regarding this discrepancy. Ferrari has now been summoned to appear in front of the stewards after the race. Leclerc was able to start the race from third on the grid as normal, taking second place for Max Verstappen on the opening lap. As much as everybody watches and are so tight when it comes to rules and regulations, it's kind of hard to believe that anybody would be silly enough to try to circumvent the rules today, because circumventing the rules today is, virtually impossible. But it is what it is. The race itself, it was a walk in the park for Lewis Hamilton. One, he didn't have any real pressure on him. He takes his 11th win of the season and a championship. He started on the pole and was untroubled, leading from lap to flag in an effortless getaway. Lights out ensured he could exact his Mercedes car's formidable pace on the field, pulling away initially at almost a second a lap before moderating his pace in the face of lacking competition. Boy, that's what a way to end the season. With his lead secure, even after all his front-running rivals stopped earlier than him in vain attempts to execute an unlikely undercut, the reigning world champion needed only to massage his car for the checkered flag to take a comprehensive 84 career wins. Wow, that's just unbelievable. And, you know, he basically said that he's very proud, but just super grateful for the incredible team. And he should. And to all of at the Mercedes, he says, we're continuing to push this year. You know, who would have thought at the end of the year we'd have the strength in the race? Because, you know, Ferrari doesn't cheap out on any of that. So while Hamilton's pace at the top step of the podium was never in doubt, the identity of the next best driver wasn't decided until lap 32 and a flash of action in the emerging rivalry between Red Bull Racing, Mike Verstappen, and Ferrari's Charles Leclerc. I don't even know how you say it. L-E-C-L-E-R-C. Leclerc. That works.
Sounds about right.
So Leclerc started third behind Verstappen, but jumped him at the start and opted for an early pit stop, kind of a short pit, on lap 12 for a new set of hard tires in an attempt to force Red Bull Racing to fight on his terms. Verstappen, however, was more easily able to eke life from the yellow-striped compounds to delay his stop until lap 25. So the Dutchman emerged 5 seconds behind the Monacus, but with a substantial tire life advantage, and by lap 32, he launched a DRS-assisted attack at the end of the long back straightaway into turn 8, and a great exit from turn 9 allowed him, Leclerc, a final attempt to retake second position, and though the pair bumped wheels, the Ferrari came off second best and was forced to yield, allowing Verstappen to gallop into the distance, and it guaranteed the Dutchman third in the championship standings ahead of both Ferraris. So I can guarantee you the Ferrari team was not real happy about that, and so we'll see how it goes. Ferrari's attention turned to consolidating Leclerc's third place from the fast-finishing Valtteri Bottas, preempting pitting from a new set of soft tires on lap 38. He emerged only 1.5 seconds ahead of the Finn, but the new red stripe rubber tires had him rapidly build a buffer big enough to successfully defend the Finn's latest advantage. Again, Leclerc's results finishing again ahead of teammate Sebastian Vettel ensured he ended up end of the season as Ferrari's highest point scorer as the first year with the team. So, and he's pretty happy about that. Now it's up to me to work to get better. But we'll have to wait and see what the end result is going to be with this fuel issue. Stay tuned. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we come back a whole lot more right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. Listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. The segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford, located at 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. Go to ElCajonFord.com. That's ElCajonFord.com. Check out the end of year sales. They've got super deals going on. They're discounting cars, trucks, you name it. And if you're in the business, you're a fleet guy, or you're looking for landscape vehicles, their commercial truck division is bar none. I think they're number 2 in the United States. And you're not going to get it any better than with John and his sidekick over there at El Cajon Ford. So check these boys out. That's ElCajonFord.com. ElCajonFord.com. And thank them for supporting Barona Speedway Right now we got Raz Barlow on the line. He is works up at the Barona Speedway, drives in the dwarf division. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
It's been a minute.
So what's going on for 2020 at Barona? Anything new? Anything exciting?
I mean, the dwarf class in general has been exciting. We did this past year, we did the first annual Border Wars, where we did race between the Barona racers, the Nevada racers, the Arizona racers, and then we also did the Turkey Tussle right at Thanksgiving for the first time. Both those were fantastic shows. So really just more of the same, trying to, you know, we've had fantastic car turnout. We had 18 cars per race on an average, so just kind of more of it. Some subtle rule changes from Western states. They're allowing the 16 and older Suzuki GSXR motors and the 15 and older Kawasaki ZX10 motors. Other than that, it's basically more of the same.
So, for somebody, because we know we're in a military town, and we do get a lot of kids from the Midwest, boys and girls, that are heavily engrossed in motorsports more so than we are out here, only because of more tracks. So, if a kid was to come out, how would somebody in the military, you know, get into this division?
You got to be 14 or older to drive a dwarf car. They're one of the fastest cars on the track. But as long as you're of that age, you come on out. Most of the cars are built by, you know, established manufacturers. There are very few home built cars. And, you know, get the car put together, come out for a few practice nights to get your stuff in a row, and then you're ready to roll.
So for an entry level car, what kind of money are we talking?
You know, if you buy a used car, you know, I've seen them on Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist for, you know, $5,000-$8,000. If you were to build a top of the line new car, you know, everything new, all the trick parts, you're looking at close to $25,000-$30,000.
Yeah, but I think if you're first time into the series, my recommendation, get yourself a used car, and hopefully the person you're buying it from is either upgrading or moving to another division. So that person could give you some tips on how to, you know, run Barona if you've never done it before. Plus, your division does sort of take care of your own, especially if you get a new driver on board that's never been there.
Yeah, we try to help out. I mean, everybody, it's a great dwarf community. Almost everybody tries to help everybody else.
Right, and that's extremely important for, because, you know, intimidation and, you know, don't know anybody and they don't know what they're going to run into when they get there. And you're absolutely right. You'll find that the Barona family is truly that. I mean, if you're, you know, I've seen guys and girls out there where other drivers need parts and pieces to compete, and you guys are more than happy to make that happen, because it's all about the show and getting as many cars on the track as possible.
Yeah, and if anybody's thinking about it out there, you know, if they reach out to me on Facebook under my name, Raz Barlow, I'm happy to help anybody who's new to the sport.
Right. Yeah, and you're right. So, basically, how many different divisions within the dwarf cars? Isn't there a senior and a beginning, or how many different classes?
Not at Barona. Barona, we only have the one division. Oh. If you go out to the Western States Nationals, they have the Sportsman Division, the Veterans Division, and Pro.
Gotcha. But ours, they all groups, or all age groups, sort of roll together.
Yeah, everybody's rolled into one. And when we go, when it comes to the Barona drivers, we're some of the fastest in the country. When our Barona drivers go to other national events and stuff, we're up there with the fast guys, if not the fastest guys.
Mm-hmm. Right. So are these spec engines?
They're in a sense, they are, because the rules restrict them to be stock engines. You can blueprint them a little bit, make sure they're built the way they're supposed to, but other than that, they're pretty much, they have to be stock out of the bike.
Right. And what about transmissions? What type of transmissions do they have?
They use the same transmission that comes in the sport bike. It's just the engine is turned sideways and runs a drive shaft that goes down next to the driver on the right-hand side.
Okay. Does they have a clutch pedal? Does the person have to know how to shift, or is it pretty simple?
Most of them use a clutch handle on the shifter like a motorcycle, but once you put it in gear and start racing, there's not much shifting going on until you get ready to come off the track.
Yeah, if you're shifting, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Basically how that amounts. And then, you know, I've known people that have gotten into the Dwarf Series, and, you know, barring any, you know, major accidents, they can pretty much run all season on the engine, the tranny, and in some cases, the tires, depending on how well you handle yourself.
Yeah, week-to-week expenses are pretty minimal. I mean, the tire, a right rear tire will last four or five races, depending on track conditions, versus other classes where they're replacing the right rear tire every single race.
Right.
Engines, I've seen engines last six or seven seasons with just basic maintenance, you know, oil changes and spark plugs and valve adjustments.
Right, as long as you don't stress these motors out, you know, they will last. And where does somebody, you know, I've always been wanting to ask this question, and I never got around to doing it, but where do you find parts and pieces for a dwarf car? I mean, I don't see any dwarf car stores.
Well, there's a great manufacturer locally that's B&B Race Cars. That's Bobby Brown and Darren Brent's company. They're right out of Ramona. I think they're out of Lakeside, sorry. And they build and sell these dwarf cars. There used to be a local company called DNR that was also out of Ramona.
Right.
But they sold, and that company moved up to Oregon. There's Pro Chassis, there's Hot Rod Chassis, there's a few around. You just, you know, basically get on the internet, you can find just about anything you want.
Right. Yeah. And are the tires a spec tire? Do they have to be a particular size and a tread cut, or can you play with the tread cuts?
Yeah, everybody runs the Hoosier tire. You are allowed to cut the tread or sipe the tread.
Yeah.
We get them from a local vendor. It's Wayne Miller. He's the tire supplier for Verona Speedway.
Do you see any benefit for shredding or slicing those tires? Do you see any actual advantage, or is that more what people just think it gives them an advantage?
It really depends on track conditions. For certain track conditions, grooving or siping the tire really helps out a lot. A lot of drivers use it as a tuning tool.
Yeah, but you know, the track, I mean, throughout the night changes, you know, constantly. So I always wondered, you know, and you know, how do you know when you do too much?
You'll know when you start falling to the back.
That's a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
And just so folks, so you'll know, these cars are completely safe. They have complete roll cages. You've got a Hans device. You've got communications with the pits. So it's not like you're just out there having yourself a gay old time.
Yeah, we take pride in the safety of this class, and as I inspect every one of those cars myself, and that's one of my big emphasis, is keeping the car safe. And we've had some big crashes out there, and people have walked away, you know, unscratched.
Right. The car may not be in good shape, but the person walks away, and that's truly, truly the key.
Yeah, that's true. Most recent evidence of that was Phil Confort put his car into the wall in turn two, and it killed the car, but he was fine.
Yeah.
Other than some sore eggs.
And that's a big boy. I mean, that's not some little guy. So the, you know, the inertia going into the wall, I mean, that could hurt really, really bad.
Yeah.
So put your thinking cap on. What do you see next year? Who do you see that should be, everybody else should be watching as far as competition goes? Anybody coming up through the ranks, or are we going to see the same guys, you know, the Browns of the world still taking it?
You know, Darren Brown is fast, and he's going to continue to be fast going forward. I think he's a fast young man. One of the guys who's picking up speed in the class, I really saw him improve over the years, was Robert Peters in the 5 car.
Uh-huh.
The 13 car of Pete Scully has shown some flashes of speed. The Mikey Hall in the 7 car has always been fast. John Isabel in the 12 car, he's a past champion, and he's fast. He's always experimenting and trying different things. And, of course, if Phil gets his car repaired and back out there, he'll be one of the fast guys as well.
Yeah, I keep waiting for everybody to take a collection and move Brown to another division.
Yeah, we're hoping he moves into sprint cars.
That's what I'm saying. Come on, man, get out of here. You don't need to keep sucking up all the trophies.
Yeah, he's a very fast driver and a really nice young man. That's the biggest compliment I can give him.
Well, and you look, and for somebody that's new at it, it's a great guy to follow. I mean, you can learn a lot if you can keep up with him.
Yeah, if you can keep him in sight, you could learn a lot from him. He generally likes to run the high side and let her hang out. And if he can get that working, he'll pretty much drive away from the field.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Hey, do you know if Verona's got their schedule out yet, or are they still working on it?
They're still working on the schedule. Okay. I'm sure it will be out soon. You know, the Salazars work hard on that. And then we're trying to coordinate some things with Kokopa and some of the other tracks so we can maybe do some more Border Wars things and things like that.
Well, I think that, and then hopefully they can put the celebrity thing together with Eric Evans, where we can get 8, 10, 39, Fox and CW6 and KUSI to all come out on separate nights, run, and then have a race off at the end of the year. because everybody that, you know, I know Fox did it and KUSI did it last year, and they felt, they just were gaga. They still keep talking about it, and that's what it's all about. It's butts in the seat. It's entertainment.
Yeah, I had a great time building one of those celebrity cars myself, and you're welcome to come get in that seat anytime you want.
Yeah. Well, no, I highly recommend it, because, you know, you were out of Cajon Speedway. How many people ended up getting in these celebrity cars? Next thing you know, they're running a full series. You know,
yeah.
Every from Chris Boyer, and I'm trying to think of the Hollands.
Yeah.
You know, him and his son. But, you know, folks, it's such a great evening. You can take the whole family. You can bring a motor home up. It doesn't cost anything to park it. There is no parking fees. You can camp overnight. And I know if you stay the night, get up the next morning, there's somebody that's fixing breakfast. And if you go by, I'm sure they would invite you to sit down. It's just, it reminds me of racing back in the 50s, you know, with the hospitality and the lack of you know, having to, you know, park in certain areas. And it's just a great place to go.
Yeah, it's a great family-friendly environment, and the racing is usually a really good show in all the divisions, not just the dwarf cars.
Yeah, without a shout out. All right, bud, thanks a lot for calling in. We sure appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, folks. And Paris Auto Speedway's calling in right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. All right, folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, located at 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. About a two-hour drive from San Diego, maybe hour and a half, depending on traffic. But I tell you what, that is one fast half-mile track. Paris has got their schedule up, so you can go check it all out. See what is going to be a good night for you to take the family, because there's all kinds of highlighted events, everything from Turkey Night to 4th of July. I mean, they give back to the military, the kids. They give out candy during the intermission. And we've got a good buddy, Grant Sexton, on the line, 15-year-old Lightning Sprint driver. How you doing, Grant?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. How long have you been running at Paris?
We ran there last year, but we didn't get the chance to run there this year.
Oh, yeah? So are you going to run there next year, you think?
I believe so.
You going to stay in the Lightning Sprints, or are you moving up?
Yeah, we're going to stay in the Lightning Sprints, but if I have the opportunity, I'm trying to move up.
So what you're saying is if anybody hands you a steering wheel, you're there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how long are you, you're 15 years old. How long have you been racing?
This is my second year. I did my first race when I was 13, but yeah. I only did two. So it's been 2 years.
So you kind of started off a little bit late. I mean, you know, when you look at normal, I mean, a lot of other racers, you know, they'll start sometimes 6, 7, 8 years old. Does the family, are they involved in motorsports?
My dad raced Lightning Sprints about 10 years ago, then hopped back into it. My grandpa used to be into it, and that's about it.
And you just weren't that excited at the very beginning? You had other things you were more involved in?
Yeah, I like baseball and football, but I got into it really quick.
Yeah, so are you still playing baseball and football?
Football I am, but not baseball.
Yeah, yeah. So, how'd you do did you race at all last year, or 2019?
Yeah.
But
I raced the full season.
Where'd you race?
I raced for California Lightning Sprints, all over California, like at Bakersfield.
Gotcha.
Ventura, Verona.
Was that your first year in the Lightning Sprints?
That was my second year.
All right. So, what is it about the Lightning Sprints that you like so much?
That you can, most of the time you can run them wide open. It's fun.
What motor is in a Lightning Sprint, you know?
It's a 1,000cc motorcycle engine.
Okay, so it's almost kind of like a dwarf car, but it's more looks like a midget with a wing.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you driven a dwarf car?
Not yet. Hopefully, I want to try one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder what the difference would be. I know the wing makes all the difference in the world as far as downforce goes. But yeah, to compare the two cars, it would be interesting. Well, if you ever want to get a ride in one, I'm sure if you're coming to Barona, I just had Raz Barlow on, and he runs the dwarf car division at Barona, and they only have one car and one division. They don't have them broke down like you see in a lot of areas. So if you ever get to San Diego and you'd like to strap one on, I'm sure I can, you know, set it up to where you can go out and do a little hot lapping. Yeah, never
That'd
know.
Be great.
Yeah, never know. Yeah. Yeah, if you're like me, you always carry your helmet, bag, and gear with you wherever you go, right?
Yeah.
So, where do you go to school?
I go to Granite Hills High School in El Cajon.
All right. Cool. And so what are you in? What grade are you in?
I'm a sophomore.
Getting ready to take the big leap, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So, what are your plans after high school? Not sure yet.
Hopefully go to college, but I'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, if you really like motorsports, you know, you can always go the route of, engineering and actually, you know, being involved in the car world, because let's face it, the things we need to have are transportation, shelter, clothing, and food. So any one of those four you get into, you should do just fine. So
yeah.
Any of your siblings race as well, or just you?
My brother races as well, and my cousin Shane.
Okay. So do you ever get a chance to get on a track together with the three of you? Do you guys go to K1 Speed or something like that?
Yeah, K1 Speed's always a good time, but yeah, it's fun racing with them.
Yeah,
I always battle and stuff.
I get in too much trouble when I go to K1 Speed. They always end up turning me down. That's the only thing I didn't like about it. I just told them 8 wheels are always better than 4 into a turn, right?
Yeah, right.
And they give you that nice bumper, so I mean, it just seems to me, especially if you're out there with somebody that's never been to K1, man, that's the best.
Yeah.
So which K1 do you go to?
The one in downtown.
Yeah. I've never been to that one yet. I've been to the one in Carlsbad, but I've never been to the one downtown. Yeah, I have to go. Maybe one of these days I'll go down there and, definitely check that out. So do you actually, does your folks have you work on the car, or do you have a crew chief?
We have a crew chief, but I always help out and turn wrenches sometimes.
Yeah, because it's, you know, unless you work on the car, you can't really communicate with your crew chief. Because, you know, if the car is not doing what you want it to do, how are you going to explain it to the crew chief what adjustments need to be made? And I know that's trial and error because, you know.
Yeah.
Because you know as well as I do, when you walk up to him and say, I don't know what's wrong, but it just isn't right, usually you'll get a little bit of static if you say that to him. You got to pretty much come up with some kind of an idea.
Yeah, communication is pretty big in dirt track racing.
Oh. Like nobody. Well, also in asphalt, but I think more so in dirt because the track changes so much throughout the race.
Yeah.
And then you've always got that guy. Yeah, and then you got that guy on the water truck that likes to come out there and just mess everything up.
Yeah.
You just got it figured out. You just got it dialed in, and he comes out with a water truck. What are you guys doing? But it's like that for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So how long do you plan to race? I mean, is this just kind of something fun doing during your teen areas, or do you plan to hopefully maybe if all the breaks go your way, move up and maybe do it maybe almost on a semi-professional basis?
Yeah, I'd love to do it semi-professionally and hopefully professionally someday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got the makings of it. I mean, all you got to do is just, yeah, you know what you need to do. No one has to tell you. At this point in your life, if somebody has to tell you, then you're in trouble. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So who do you have on the car that helps you get to the racetrack? Because sponsorship, acknowledgement is probably more important than winning a trophy. So who are the good folks that get you there?
BK Wings, wing sponsor, Swift Powder Coat, Victory Graphics, Section Fire Protection. My Nana helps out a lot. We have quite a few. That's the main ones, though. But we have Eric and Cody working on our cars, and I have a lot of support behind me with my parents and family.
Yeah, you got a great. Yeah, you do have a great family. Now, the first sponsor, when you said wings, is that something you eat, or is that something that goes on the car?
That's the top. That's the big thing on top of the car.
No,
downforce.
You got to get a food sponsor. What is up with you kids? Go get a food sponsor. That way you never starve.
We're going to try.
I tell everybody that calls in, go to Antonelli's right there in El Cajon. They used to be massive sponsors at Cajon Speedway. And I don't know if you've ever had any of their sandwiches, but you're not going to get one any better in town.
Oh, I love their sandwiches. The best.
See, and then you can have them sponsor you. Then just swing by on the way to the track, get your sandwiches, and you're good to go. One of these days, somebody's going to take my advice. I don't know who, but one of these days, somebody's going to take my advice. So I always like to bring this topic up because it's a real solid point. And that's why we get our kids into motorsports. And it teaches you how to work with other people. It teaches you defeat when you lose. It teaches you how to handle yourself when you win. And I got a sneaky feeling you got a probably have a pretty good grade point average, right?
Yeah, I have a 3.5 GPA right now.
There you go. That's what I keep telling you parents out there. If you want to keep your kids, you know, if you want to get your kids their grades up, their rooms clean and all that, get them into racing. Because all you have to do is pull that race car one time. And boy, I tell you, you're in serious, serious trouble. So, well, that's good to know. So, what's going to be your next race coming up next season? You're going to, like you said, are you going to stick with Lightning, or are you going to do Barona? I mean, not Barona, but Paris.
I'm not sure what my first race is. I haven't looked at the schedule yet. But I believe it's in El Centro with the Lightning Sprint.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. So, what color is your car?
It is black right now, but I'm thinking about changing it up next year.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Or is it a secret?
I'm not really sure yet. It's going to be a surprise.
Ah, you going to paint it or wrap it?
We're going to wrap it.
Yeah, that's probably, that way when you wad it up or scratch it up, it's easy to fix.
Yeah, we can peel it right off.
Yeah, what's your number?
Number 3.
My favorite number. Actually, my favorite number, I take that back. My favorite number is 34. Don't ask me why, but all my racing numbers have been 34. What is yours? Do you have any, you know, why you like it?
I saw it on a bigger sprint car one time, and I thought it was, just looked really clean.
Yeah.
So I copied it.
Yeah, I agree. I do, too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when you get a new color scheme, the big 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, let's see. What else was I going to ask you? So, I can't think of anything right off the top of my head, but.
I thought he chose 3 because it's the magic number. You know, back in the day, the song 3 is the magic number.
No. If anything, it'd be Dale Earnhardt, right?
Oh, yeah. Dale Earnhardt. I look up to him.
I have my shrine at my house for Dale Earnhardt. I've got a big 4x6 foot cabinet full of everything you could imagine.
Dale Earnhardt was the greatest.
By far. They can say what they want, but when it comes to drivers, I don't think there's anybody ever that has been as good. And he started out rough. I mean, he started out, you know, he wasn't winning races at all because he was crashing everything. It was either checkers or wreckers. There wasn't a whole lot of in between. But all right, bud. Well, hey, thanks a lot for calling in. If people want to follow you around, how do they do that? You got on Facebook, Twitter, and all that jazz?
Yeah, they can look me up on Facebook, and I have Instagram at GrantSexton44.
All right, buddy.
And
all right. Well, hey, say hi to the family for me. Have a great holiday season, and I look forward to chatting with you next season. Let's see how well you're doing. All right, buddy. Thank you. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Norm DeWitt is in the wings, and we're going to chat all about his book. And we're going to also talk about what's going on in the motorsport community. There might be some tidbits that he's always full of, and that's why we have him on right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic out at 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. Go to certifiedcarcare.net. And if you want to do the underhood trick plumbing, go to ospecialties.com, located in the same facility. You can call them separately at 619-562-4750. Certified Car Clinic can work on your everyday driver, your off-road buggy, your circle track car, you name it, they've got the technology. And they can do those specialty hoses under your hood if you're so inclined. Check them out at Certified Car Clinic, at Certified Car Clinic, or CertifiedCarCare.net. All right, got my good buddy Norm on the line. Hey, Norm, how's it going?
Hi, Dave, how you doing?
You know, living the dream. So, has everybody, have you sold all your books for Christmas yet?
I'm still selling them, making it faster.
That's right. And, folks, if you really want to get the inside scoop of the open wheel world, this is the book to get. And it makes for a great gift as well. You can give it to your somebody in the family that happens to like motorsports and they're a hard person to buy for. This is a perfect book to do it.
Yeah, Making It Faster, too, is the one that's Indianapolis and Grand Prix cars. So that's right. The one that you're just a total open-wheel devotee.
Yes,
that's the one, whereas Making It Faster is pretty much across all the genres, from everything from NASCAR to Le Mans to Indianapolis to Formula One.
Yeah, how do you say what's-his-face's name? Ferrari, the guy that had the fuel issue, Leclerc, or?
Claire.
How do you say it?
Leclerc.
Oh, it is Leclerc. Did you ever hear what the end result was on that infraction?
No, I didn't, because at that point, I mean, it's at the end of the season, yeah. and it's just been such a trail of embarrassment for Ferrari in these last few races, between running Vettel turning into him in Brazil, mistiming sending the cars out at Abu Dhabi so that neither one of them was able to get their final lap time in before the checker flew and qualifying. I mean, it's just been, these aren't gravy days for the Ferrari team right now.
I wonder why that is. I mean, just the combination of the wrong people? I mean, have they made some wholesale changes?
No, I think it's just called we all screw up, and every once in a while we screw up a lot, and that's been the story of Scuderia Ferrari lately, that's for sure.
Yeah, good thing Enzo's not around.
Well, he's probably doing a spin. He's spinning somewhere at the moment, probably. Yes, the big news of the last few weeks, at least in Norm World, has been Roger Penske's purchase of the Indianapolis Motor
Speedway. Yeah.
And the Indianapolis Car Series.
What does your crystal ball see in the future for IndyCar Series?
Nothing but good.
Oh, yeah. Everything that guy touches turns to gold. I mean,
I don't know. I think he was involved in the smart cars. But he has a stellar track record. And this is somebody that's bringing not only a business sense, but there's no greater enthusiast and participant in racing worldwide, than Penske. I mean, he's been in everything from Formula One to NASCAR to Australian touring cars to Formula 5000 to Can-Am to Trans-Am, you name it. And Penske has at one time or another won. And I think that there's been a lot of let's just say questionable decisions in the past with IndyCar, and I think it's in the best possible hands. Being going from the Holmans to Roger Penske, because we all owe a great debt of thanks to Tony Holman, because he saved the Indianapolis Motor Speedway back in 1945-46.
Sure did.
And You know, although there was some years that I don't necessarily agree with decisions that they made, they did save that, and it's, as they say, the greatest spectacle in racing.
Yeah. Well, you've been to enough Penske tracks. I mean, you can go to Auto Club Speedway, and it looks like the day it opened. I mean, he is a stickler for cleanliness and well-appointed, you know, a facility that is top-notch. You can't beat it.
Well, I think he was forced to divest himself of that speedway a few years ago when it was basically, you know, if you either sell to us or we won't bring any of our events to you.
Yeah, so he has a way of putting a facility together that really makes it, you know, stand out. I mean, it's a class act.
No question. Everything about Penske as an organization has always been a class act. I've worked with the man many times, and I've worked with a number of people on his team a great many times.
Right.
And it's a very professionally run outfit, and I expect them to just keep getting better and better.
What do you think he's going to do with Indy? Think he's going to do anything unusual, different, or is he just going to sort of just keep rolling the way it's rolling?
Oh, I suspect that there'll be a few more big major events at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the future. I'm hoping for a return for World Superbike and maybe MotoGP, because there is no World Superbike round in the United States for 2020, and MotoGP is down to just the one event at Circuit of the Americas in Austin every April. So, I mean, we've gone from having three MotoGPs and a World Superbike race to having one MotoGP. And I realize a part of that is the, you know, sad loss of Nicky Hayden, although he was at the end of his career when he was hurt and eventually succumbed to his injuries in the bicycle accident. But there's just no Americans doing much of note in motorcycle racing internationally, and that's really cost the sport in the United States.
Yeah, I was always surprised. I just never understood why we didn't have the MotoGP. I mean, we got motocross, you know, we got arena cross, we got all kinds of venues, but to me, the cream of the crop is, you know, the MotoGPs, and for some reason there just doesn't seem to be a lot of support behind it.
Well, we had four Americans in MotoGP for quite a while, and before that there was an era that ran from about 1978 up through 1993, where America just not essentially dominated, completely dominated international Grand Prix motorcycle racing. It was just no question, and a large number of World Superbike champions at the same time, whether you're talking Colin Edwards, Ben Spies, John Kaczynski, whoever. And, you know, it's just not happening at the moment. And I know Wayne Rainey in his Moto America series is doing everything it can to get more Americans on the world stage. And one of the riders from Moto America is moving up to World Superbike next year. So maybe there'll be more interest again, and hopefully we can get more events. I'd love to see a huge motorcycle event back at Indianapolis. And who knows, shoot for the moon, make it MotoGP and World Superbike and Moto America weekend or something.
Yeah, why not? I mean, really, I mean, I don't think, if anybody's never seen it, it's quite the race, folks. I mean, these guys go stupid fast on two wheels, and they'll do things on a motorcycle that you wouldn't think is doable.
Especially world champion Mark Marquez.
Oh, my gosh. That guy gives me cold chills.
I can't tell. I've lost count of how many times I've seen him beside the bike and with his elbow and leg under the bike, push it back up and catch it.
I know.
And that's not something you ever see people do.
Yeah. And he's done it more than once. It's not like he's only done it one time.
No, it's more like once a season he does it. It's remarkable what kind of talent store Mark Marquez is.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like when people were able to see Jim Clark or or say Ayrton Senna,
yep.
or maybe go to a super speedway or an oval and watch Rick Mears.
Right.
I mean, there's been a handful of guys in history that are just beyond description. Remarkable.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But, you know, it's looking, hopefully the 2020 season's going to be good for everybody. The economy is up. And, you know, when the economy's up, advertisers throw money at riders and drivers. So hopefully, you know, 2020 will come up. And hopefully we can get some more television coverage on MotoGP and bike events as a whole.
Yeah, it's all really hard to say for us, those of us out here on the West Coast, because, you know, the other than the one NASCAR race that we have at California Speedway and up at, then again up at Sonoma, there's also Long Beach. But by and large, most of the major events have been at Laguna Seca. Been some real changes in management there after, I think the number is 62 or 63 years. The County Board of Supervisors got Gramp, who ran the track, and turned over operations of the track to a guy who's a hotelier, basically. He manages a hotels in the area, and he was well-connected with the Board of Supervisors. I gather he had no employees and no experience, and they picked him over Scramp, which is a known commodity,
and
Penske even wrote a letter supporting Scramp to the Board of Supervisors, which they ignored.
Wow.
And they also awarded it to that guy. They didn't hardly give Chris Pook a chance, who's the man who brought us things like the Long Beach Grand Prix.
Yeah. So do you think that track could go away?
I don't think it's going to go away, but I really shudder to think what it's headed towards, because with no experience in racing, I don't know if he's going to appreciate what he's got. And time will tell. I'm hoping it's not going to turn into kind of a theme park, but I do think that the facility's been somewhat underutilized in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Circuit of the Americas, where when they have the Formula One U.S. Grand Prix in, say, 2016, who played Saturday night at the track? Taylor Swift.
Gotcha. The year
before was Elton John.
Yes.
You know, I mean, these amazing mega concerts, and they have concerts there all the time, year round.
Yeah.
So it becomes more of a full community asset as opposed to a racetrack outside of town.
All right, Norm. Hey, thanks a million for calling in, folks. Don't forget to check out the book, Make It Faster 2. You can find it everywhere. Just Google it. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk down the road.
Hey, take care.
All right, folks. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Gun Sports Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.